Have you been wandering through life with no purpose? Are you looking for a catalyst to change your life for the better? These Servant Leadership podcasts will change your perspective of yourself, others, and your creator. This transformational leadership approach uses seven simple tools to help you understand your purpose in life. Please join Dave Kuhnert and Chris Seegers for today's podcast.
This is Servant Leadership podcast number seven. Leadership styles. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Chris, we started this whole thing off saying that servant leadership is all about influencing others to get there. And with that, then we said there's a framework for life, a structure for life, and how life works. When we're talking about influencing others to get there, what we're talking about is the there for there, here, and path being our structure. For our there, we have to have clarity, where we're trying to get to, what we're trying to do. We want to be very clear about it. We want to have a shared vision for the team of the end state or goal that we're trying to get to. So when we have a there for the team and we have clarity, good things can happen. When there's lack of clarity, generally consequences are going to ensue. Friction and fights and bad things tend to happen when we lack clarity. So that's the there. Then the here is where we are. Our current position in life, are not where we are necessarily physically, but where we are. It's all about current reality, our here. And that's really hard for us to know. We said it's really difficult. So we have a bunch of tools to help with that. And then we have a path that links the here to the there. And along that path, we're going to have to act, learn, and adjust from time to time. We're going to walk, take a step down the path, find out that where we are may not be where we want to be, learn from that, from the mistakes we've made, and adjust to keep moving. But ultimately, we have to be committed along that path when things get difficult. So we want to be committed to get there. And we even went as far as talking about some of the greatest leaders in history and what made them different. And ultimately, they had a awesome there, and they were committed to it unto death if necessary. So their here path. Then we talked about really the meaning of life, what life is all about, and the importance of having a there for your life, a transcendent there, a there or a purpose that by definition you cannot reach. It just kind of gives you a direction for your life. So a transcendent there, a statement, a purpose statement for your life to give you a direction. And we said that, hey, a business or a charitable organization or a church or a social group, they all have a vision statement. They all have a mission statement or a purpose statement. They all have a there for their business. And a business as a money-making entity, if it's important enough for them to have a goal or a there, why wouldn't it be as important for us to have one in our own lives to give us direction in life? Or a there for your marriage, a there for your children. So one of the most important things that we took out of the meaning of life, second and third podcasts we did, is coming up with that purpose statement for your life. Mine is serve others to the glory of God. Others have well done, good and faithful servant. Some purpose statement that gives you purpose for your life to know why you're here. Why am I on this earth? God has a purpose for us all. He is giving us meaning to our lives. And we can define that to help us take away some of the fog of war, as we like to call it, the difficulty in seeing where we're supposed to go to. When things get difficult in life and we get in tough situations and bad things start to happen, we can focus on our there and be committed to it and take another step down the path towards our transcendent there. So really, having that there is really important. And then we talked about the fact that once we have our transcendent there and we know what it is and we've defined it, we've put in place a great structure to help us defend against the other there, two sides of the same heart. Our transcendent there, the we there, and the me there. It's the spirit versus the flesh. The spirit being the we there, serving others, focusing on my purpose in this life, and the me there being about serving me. The number one common denominator in all your failed relationships? Me. The number one problem I have with not loving and doing for others? Me. Keeping up with the Joneses, the materialism, all that stuff that is about me. We all want to be great. Greatness does not come through me. Greatness comes through serving others, this great dichotomy of life, this whole idea that I want what's best for me. But doing what's best for me is doing what's best for others. That's what's best for me. And we all know that. And yet we struggle with it day in and day out, the lusts of the flesh and how it lusts against the spirit and how focusing on the spirit can help us and prevent us from moving towards serving ourselves. So we talked about structures we can put in place to help us from drifting towards that me there, drifting towards where we don't want to be. And that may be as simple as spending time in the Word, spending time in Scripture, listening to what the Holy Spirit should be telling us and is telling us if we'll listen, understanding that I'm as close to God as I choose to be. God is always there. He's always waiting for me. It's me that gets in the way of my relationship with Him. That having an organizational structure inside my company, the physical structure being the pyramid, where you have the boss up top, some middle management, and then some entry-level employees. But the mental model of that same structure being the upside-down pyramid, that the boss at the top is actually at the bottom, where he serves everyone else in the organization. And that middle manager serves the people, the entry-level employees, at what would be the bottom. So it's turning that upside down on its head. Maybe it's listening to the Christian radio station instead of the country radio station, where we know what happens. The dog's going to die, the truck's going to break, and there's probably alcohol involved. When we listen to the Christian radio station, we might be reminded more often and more frequently that God is there. We should be focused on Him instead of focusing on ourselves. So the me there versus the we there. Even when we have this great transcendent there, this great idea of what we want to do with our lives and what God has intended us to do with our lives, we still struggle with the flesh. We still struggle with ourselves. And we talked about setting goals, or milestones as we call them. And when we're making these milestones, this is all about creating a path towards our there. So we want to make sure we set goals that are good for us, goals that help us get there. And we talked about doing that through the pillars and our values, the physical pillar, good physical fitness goals, our social goals, and having good, strong social safety net and how we can improve that, mental and emotional, how to set goals to be well-read, to get smarter, to become that expert. Family and team goals, do I have goals for them? Spiritual goals, maybe it's spending more time in the Word. Financial goals, budgeting my money better, becoming a better steward of God's resources. And really looking at all of that and setting goals to help me become stronger in them, to help me move myself down the path towards my there. And we said we want to make these goals SMART, specific, so we're very clear on what we're trying to achieve, measurable, that we can actually know whether we've accomplished them or not, achievable or acceptable, where they actually support our there, results-oriented, so that we know that they're actually helping us, and time-bound, so we give ourselves a time limit on when it should be done. So SMART goals are really important. Writing a goal down is really important. We know that if we just have a goal in our head, we have about a 17 to 20% chance of actually accomplishing it. But if we'll write it down, that chance doubles. We'll actually double our chances of accomplishing a goal just by writing it down. And then if we'll share it with somebody, it goes up to about a 60% chance of accomplishing it. But if we'll share it with somebody after we've written it down and have them be an accountability partner for us, we have about a 76% chance of accomplishing our goals. So these goals are milestones that we want to achieve. We should make SMART. We should write them down and share them with others and be accountable with someone else if they're really important to us, really important for us to be able to move towards our there. This there that we have and how important it is to set goals to get there, to help us keep from moving towards the me there. Once we've got that, we have our transcendent there in place, then we have to know, we have clarity of it, then we have to know our here, our current reality. So we started with our first here tool in our last episode, and we talked about the different types of power. And we said we want to have power or influence with others so we can serve them better. if we know what type of power we have with certain individuals, then we know how to influence them better. We said our first type of power is position power. That simply position power is power that comes from being in a position of authority, whether it's a firefighter or a police officer, maybe a manager or a parent. You have position power, the ability to influence through your position. The next one was coercive power, the ability to punish or take away. And we can use that to influence others as well. Typically, new leaders tend to rely on this one or overuse this one. And when we overuse coercive power, we lose it. And when we don't follow through with coercive power, we lose it. But if we'll follow through and do what we say we're going to do, we can gain more influence through coercive power. The third is reward power. That's the ability to reward somebody or award them with something. And it works similar to coercive power. I can lose it by overusing it, or I can gain more of it by following through. The next type of power was expert power, being that subject matter expert. This can be an informal leader, somebody we perceive as being the expert, the person we go to with our questions. Are you that person in your organization? If you're not, gain expert power. Go out there and get after it. Go out there and read a book. Become that professional. Become the person that everybody's going to want to get the answers from. It opens doors of influence for you to serve them better. And the final type of power, we said, is referent power. Referent power is all about doing life right. It's about doing life the way God intended it. And that goes back to our pillars again, and strengthening our values, and strengthening our physical, our social, our mental, our family, our spiritual, and our financial pillar, putting energy into them and setting goals to make them stronger. So that when adversity strikes, not if, but when adversity strikes, we can have resiliency, we can overcome, we can fight through, and be an example of how to do life right. So today, we're really going to dig into how to apply these types of power through leadership styles. We know that our here is heavily influenced by the types of power we wield, and it's important to understand how to utilize them. Well, there are five styles or approaches to leadership. They are directive, transactional, participative, delegative, and transformational. So that first leadership style or approach to leadership is directive. When you hear the word directive, Chris, what do you tend to think of?
I think, you know, typically you're telling somebody, do this way.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It is very non-developmental. So of the leadership styles, this is the least developmental, but there's an appropriate time and place for it. It's not a bad thing. So this is, we're going to say, as far as terms of their here path, this is directive is going to be about giving someone the there, the here, and the path. Now, this might be somebody who is really immature. It may be a small child. We have to be very directive with children. They need a lot of structure. They need a lot of guidance. Or maybe safety is concerned. If the building's about to blow up, we're not going to sit down and have a meeting about it. We're going to be very directive. That firefighter that bursts through the door, he's not going to have a discussion. He's going to tell you, you need to exit the building and exit it now. So this is about giving the there, here, and the path. Not very developmental, but there is a time and there is a place for it. And it is an important approach to leadership that we want to have. It's mostly based on position power. And just keep that in mind. You know, if you have a position power, it's really easy to be directive. The second leadership style is transactional. Transactional leadership is just like it sounds. It's being assigned a task. You sometimes think about what's in it for me. So it's a lot of reward and a lot of coercive power. If you do this task, this is what you get. If you don't do the task, this is what will happen to you. So it's a little bit more developmental. You're making choices on your own. You're not being directed. You're being given a there. Sometimes you'll have some shared milestones along the way, but really it's about what's in it for me. So there's a lot of reward power and a lot of coercive power. If I do this, this is what I get. If I don't, this is what will happen to me.
And this is the whole kind of quid pro quo or positive and negative incentives, the carrot and the stick, like we talked about. Do this, you're either going to get a positive thing if you do it right, or you're going to get a negative thing if you do it wrong.
Right. This is all carrot and stick. Exactly right, Chris. So when we look at this, and this isn't bad. I mean, this is where most people spend their entire lives, very, very transactionally. I'll do this if I get something in return. If I don't get something in return, I won't do it. Now, I'm not suggesting, Chris, you should go to work and not expect a paycheck. That's not what this is talking about at all. This is about more than what's in it for me. I go to work. Yes, I expect to get paid for my time. However, it's not the only reason that I go to work. I go to work for more than that. So we use transactional as parents a lot, right? The carrot and the stick. Little Johnny, clean your room, you get a cookie. If you don't, you're going to get a spanking. So it's no wonder that all through our lives, we grew up very transactionally, to the point that even while we're in school, we learn the minimum we have to do to get an A or to get the grade I want. And that's what I'll do. I'll do the minimum I have to get the grade I want, and that's it. What's in it for me? This is what's expected. I mean, think about your college classes. Who read the entire textbook? Who went through and read the textbook cover to cover? No, we read what we were going to get tested on. What did I need to do to pass the class? Why? Because we're transactional. That's the way we were raised. And that's a good thing, to a point. At some point in life, we want to move past transactional, though. We want to start to realize there's more to it than what can I get out of it. So that's transactional. What's in it for me? I'll do the minimum just to get by. I go to work to get my paycheck so I don't get fired. The third style is participative leadership. And this is going to use a lot of expert power. And it's just what it sounds like. This is the on-the-job training. This is taking somebody by the hand and showing them the they're here in path. Let me show you how to do this. Taking them out to wherever you work and showing them how to do the job that they're expected to do. Pretty self-explanatory. The fourth style of leadership is delegative. Now, this style is going to rely a lot on reward, coercive, position, and expert power. Here we give them the there, and they go figure out the path. So all we're going to do is give them the there, and we're going to let them figure it out. Now, this whole idea of being delegating is really confusing for some because it gets confused with directing, and they're very, very different because you can delegate authority, but you cannot delegate responsibility. Chris, this is the task we need to get done. You figure out how to do it. I'm still responsible. It's still up to me to make sure it gets done correctly. So with directing, you're going to control the situation. You're going to give them the there, here, and path, and you're going to tell them to go do it. Delegating is, I'm going to give you the there. I'm going to let you figure it out, but I'm still going to check in with you. Our words matter, Chris, so this is real important. I'm going to check in with you instead of check up on you. If I say I'm going to check up on you, what does that mean to you?
It means that you're not delegating that responsibility.
Yeah, I'm probably trying to micromanage you to some degree.
Yeah.
That's what it feels very confining.
And I think good leaders in delegative, the question they always ask, so they delegate and then you come back and you say, well, hey, you know, we've had these issues, blah, blah, blah. Typically the first question they say is, well, what do you think we should do? Versus saying, well, here's what you need to do. I think that's the pivotal point is they usually ask you, okay, well, I've delegated this to you. What do you think? And the people that haven't, they just solve the problem for you and move on.
Yeah, they feel like they need to be in control, try to control a situation. In reality, we can't control others. So when we delegate and say, I'll check in with you, I'm going to spot check and I'm going to follow up to make sure you're on the right track. Now, depending upon the ability of the person or the team that you're going to check in with, that's going to depend on how often you have to do it. If they've been doing that job for a while and they're really good at it and they've demonstrated successfully that they've done these types of things in the past, I may check in once in a while. I don't want to wait till the end of the actual task to go look at it for the first time. That's demotivating for that team. If it's important people show up. If what I'm doing is important, you're probably going to want to check in on me about it, right? You're going to want to see the project. not necessarily in its entirety, but at spot checks along the way to make sure it's on track. If I have a $1 million project, I'm not going to wait till the end of the project to see if you put it together correctly, just to find out that all has to be redone. I can delegate authority to get the project done, but I'm still responsible. Depending upon the ability of the people doing the project will determine how much I need to check in with them to make sure it's being done correctly.
And I think even I've used the delegative language even in emails. When I'm communicating with an employee, instead of saying, hey, I want to check on this process, I'll say, you know, I want to check in. What do you think? How are things going? And just kind of communicating in that way, I think even helps them to feel like, well, he's not making sure that I'm not messing up. He just wants to be involved in the process and, you know, be aware of what's going on.
Yeah, once we turn them loose and delegate to them, they're going to make some mistakes. And as a leader, we need to allow them to make some mistakes. We learn more from our mistakes than we do our successes. I think everyone would agree with that. When you go out there and you've delegated the task, I'm still responsible. And if I can, within a controlled environment, allow them to make a few mistakes to learn, as long as it's not going to cost somebody a life, limb, or eyesight or something like that, or cost too much money, we can allow them to make some errors, learn from them, act, learn, adjust, and man, they've just learned so much more than what they could have otherwise. So I'm going to allow them to go down this path and be available for them, though. That's the biggest difference here is I'm going to be available to allow them to ask questions. I'm not going to solve their problems for them, but I may give them some suggestions for them to choose the correct answer instead of solving problems for them.
So what's the final leadership style, Dave?
That's transformational. This is really where it's at, and this is really where you want to be in life. And this is really hard because this is not about what's in it for me anymore. This is going beyond transactional. This is doing something simply because it's right, simply because that's what God would want me to do. To have transformational leadership, this is having a shared there, here, and path. This means that the there is communicated sufficiently to create a shared vision. So to be a transformational leader, I've got to have a clear there, and I've got to repeat it over and over and over again. It's also about having a common understanding of our current reality, shared transparently. So we all know our here. We all know the current reality of where we are. And finally, we have to be committed to the there while traversing the path, resulting in a learning organization through the act, learn, and adjust process. Transformational leadership is going to rely really heavy on that referent power that we talked about in the last episode. This style of leadership is where subordinates try to do what's right simply because it's right, and not only for what they might get in return. Have you ever done something for someone when there's no way they could ever possibly repay you? When we serve others without expecting repayment, it's transformational for them and for you. You're changing their lives and changing your own. The feeling of fulfillment we get from doing this can be quite addicting. We'll want to do it more and more because it's so addicting. So when you go to work and do a great job beyond what's expected, we get that same feeling. When we do what's right because it's right and not what's in it for me, we end up getting rewarded with this sense of fulfillment. Viktor Frankl said, and remember Viktor Frankl again, he's this Austrian neurologist and psychologist that was in the concentration camps. He said, by declaring that a man is responsible and must actualize the potential meaning of his life, I wish to stress that the true meaning of life is to be discovered in the world rather than within man or his own psyche, as though it were a closed system. I have termed this constitutive characteristic the self-transcendence of human existence. It denotes the fact that being human always points and is directed to something or someone other than oneself, be it a meaning to fulfill or another human being to encounter. The more one forgets himself by giving himself to a cause or to serve another person to love, the more human he is and the more he actualizes himself. What is called self-actualization is not an attainable aim at all, for the simple reason that the more one would strive for it, the more one would miss it. In other words, self-actualization is possible only as a side effect of self-transcendence. So Viktor Frankl is telling us here that We find transcendence or transformational leadership through loving others and through serving them. When a person lays himself aside and serves others without expecting anything in return, it's transformational. It changes eternity, yours and theirs.
The funny thing, too, is we reference Man's Search for Meaning, Frankl's book, quite a bit in this, but I was reading another New York Times top seller, and this guy had interviewed, I don't know, hundreds of leaders, current leaders. And one of the common books that every single one of them almost referenced was this Man's Search for Meaning. So even people in society realize, look, the only way to self-actualize is by self-sacrifice, is by serving other people. So that's pretty interesting to me.
It's pretty amazing. You know, transformational leadership is going to happen when we demonstrate commitment and provide clarity to the there to create the synergy and the unity within the team. We have to share that current reality of the here with transparency, and we want it based on facts and not about feelings and assumptions. Well, I feel like we're doing a good job. No, we want it based on facts. Finally, we have to intervene when there's a lack of clarity or lack of reality for the here to help the team have a shared mental model of how to negotiate that path. When we do these things, we're creating an environment that people want to be a part of. We have to be careful with that, though. If we look at Matthew 6, 1 through 4, verse 1 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." So this is Jesus talking in Matthew here. And what he's saying is, challenge your motives. That's the me there. It's what's in it for me. It's transactional. When you go out there and you do something good for others, and then you make a big deal out of it, you didn't do it for them. You did it for you. You're sounding that trumpet. You're trying to be glorified by man instead of being glorified by God. When you do something anonymously, or you do something for someone who can't repay you and you don't lord it over them or make a big deal out of it, that's transformational. When you do something expecting something in return, even the glory of man, that's transactional. Challenge your motives. Why am I doing this? Am I doing it to serve we, or am I doing it to serve me?
And the world really will lie to us and tell us that we should be serving me. I had a conversation with someone last week. They were just communicating to me about this family situation. And, oh, you know, my mom's having to take care of her mother, and none of the siblings are helping, and this and that, and they should all be helping. And I said, look, I understand that, but think of all the rewards that your mom is putting in heaven, being self-sacrificing. Even though the other siblings should be helping, she's just placing tons and tons of rewards in heaven by sacrificing. But the world would say, hey, no, we need to be selfish, and these people should be helping. So if they're not helping, I'm not going to help.
Again, we do this not for ourselves, but for others. And when we actually do that, like you said, Chris, the rewards are going to be boundless. We should want to have a greater influence with others to show them how to do life the way God intended us to live. The influence through referent power helps us use transformational leadership to create a culture of giving and serving others. I hope you'll join us again next time. In our next episode, we're going to talk about freedom versus control and how giving freedom and granting freedom is something we all want, and how we can only really control one person on this earth. 7 billion people on this planet, we get to control one of them. And when we try to control others, we actually get controlled by them. So join us next time when we delve into that and open up a whole new chapter and a whole new perspective for you on freedom versus control.
If you would like to offer feedback to any of the Servant Leadership podcasts, please go to our Facebook page and click on the comment section. You can also check us out online at trueservantleadership.com. Our site will soon have videos for the tools that we recommend using, and we will be adding additional content to the website in the future, including links for these podcasts. All of our material comes from the book Servant Leadership, Influencing Others to Get There by Leading a Transformational Life. If you're interested in the book, you can find it at Amazon.com. Both the paperback and the electronic version are available for order. The electronic version is only $1.99, and all of the proceeds from the book go to charity. Thanks for listening, influencing others to get there, serving others, and most of all, thanks for leading with the example of a transformational life set by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.